Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a really cool guest for the show today, Charlie Sarmiento. He has been a serial founder, a serial investor. His career beginnings involve him as an athlete who turned into a global sports visionary and a creative leader who drives innovation in sports. Today, he is co-founder and CEO of Vertical, that's V-E-R-T-I-K-A-L, and he's going to tell us all about that. Charlie, thanks for being here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate the invite. I'm very grateful and happy being here with you and all these crazy adventures.
Yes. So let's start off by talking a little bit about your origin story and just some of the history, the sports, and what kind of brought you in the direction that we see today.
Thank you. Well, my origins, I was born and raised in Guatemala. And also, I'm Italian as well because of my mother's family up in the north. But since I was very young, I fall in love in sports. Always been an athlete. Played for Guatemala youth baseball national team for 7 years as a shortstop, and then I transitioned to soccer, U17 national team as well as central forward. And then I started studying, working. I was very grateful to scale up the corporate ladder pretty fast. I work as a corporate executive for 14 years. I'm 43 right now. I always said that I feel like I'm 14. I behave like I'm 17 and I'm 43. But yeah, so that's my journey. Is what everything since very early in sports. And then the last 11 years, I have been an endurance athlete, ultra trail runner for 9 years and 2 years as an extreme triathlete. And basically, I decided to combine my two passions, sports and business, and also technology. And that is how I created a Vertical X. Vertical X is a funding service for endurance athletes to help them to fund their sports career based on performance data. So basically, we build a product that it's the athlete can get on board very easily and doing their profile. And we created an algorithm, the VTX score, which is an inclusive algorithm. It's not only about social media, but also includes training and athletic performance. I always said, you can be a sex symbol in social media and a terrible athlete, or you can be a great athlete and a terrible community manager, social media influencers type of.
So that because doing what you do well versus the world seeing it the way you want them to see it, it's two different things. So let's take a step back there from your solution. I want to make sure that we all appreciate the problem fully that you're solving. So putting us in the shoes of either the athlete or the trainer or whoever the target user is, and the struggles that they go through while trying to achieve the goal that you're going to be fixing. But I want to make sure that we understand the problem.
Correct. No, thank you for asking, Thomas. It's important. First, I always said that the bold entrepreneurs like myself, we come to the world to solve problems. And the problem that I'm solving through Vertical X, that we are solving, is all these athletes' lack of resources. It's very hard to find sponsorships for everybody. So almost there is more than 100 million endurance athletes globally. I'm talking since beginners to the pros. Only 98% doesn't make it. So only 2% can get sponsorships, and the other 98 they don't. And for the 2%, they can make it in 9 months. So only 2% out of the 100 million can really get sponsorships. And I was part of that problem. So I was part of the 98% that could not get a sponsorship, but I figured out a way to transition to the 2%. And that is why I'm putting on service on this platform. So that's from the athlete side. And that's the problem that we're solving. So all these funding resources to compete internationally, to train, to pay for coaches, sports psychologists, nutrition, supplements, recovery, travel expenses, you name it, we are solving that budget perspective.
What is endurance athlete? Just want to make sure I got that term right.
Good. I like because you do
Okay.
smart questions. So endurance athletes for us at this moment is runners, cyclists, swimmers, and triathletes. That's what we are focusing right now.
Got you.
So,
Versus games. So rather than a soccer player, basketball player, football player,
correct.
it's one of those triathlon type things where it's a marathon style. You train for months and to execute
Correct.
this race or something.
Yeah, so basically, example in my case, I'm still competing. Actually, I'm going to Switzerland next week for the Swiss man. It's an extreme triathlon. But for me, it's training for 4 months specifically to the race. So all the training, going to a training facility, paying for a coach, all the supplements, the nutrition, and some travels for elevation, the travel expenses, the accommodations, transport, all these budgets. So, you have to pay for from somewhere, right? So that is what we are helping these athletes. And we want to curate those athletes because we don't want an athlete that we are going to put in the platform and he end up in Miami partying with the funds that it was supposed to go to compete. So that is what we don't want. But in the other side, Thomas, so there are two other sides for us. We call it the supporters, but that's included donors and sponsors. For us, donors are individuals or even corporations that they are not expecting anything in return, but they are just donating funds to support the athlete. And we have a structure that we have a non-for-profit in our business structure, a 501c3, that we can also help them so they can make deductible those donations. And for the athlete, it's clean cut for the tax perspective.
So as I think about the problem, as you articulated it, with 2% of the athletes getting sponsorships, but then you have this giant 98% who doesn't get it. And then there's also money out there, but there's a connection problem. And it seems that you've identified this as an ecosystem issue, a problem with connecting the right people to the right things. And so your innovation is that you've fixed that, right? So you've created some kind of a platform and you've somehow thought this through to where the connections get to the right places. Is that how it's
Correct.
coming together?
It's correct. It's correct. And actually, that's the other part of the story that I was going to tell you is that from a brand perspective, which is the sponsors, they expect something in return, which is brand awareness and an ROI on brand awareness. So typically, the brand goes after an influencer. And as an athlete, we don't like being called influencers. We are athletes. Obviously, implicitly, we influence through the sports. But we are not influencers per se, as typically there are influencers out there that are very successful as well. But for us, athletes, we tend more to focus on our training, performance, and competing, and not very savvy on that kind of influencing skills. So that is why we created the VTS score to not leave those that are not very savvy under social media. But they train very hard, very disciplined. They go to compete, and they are in the game. So that's what we are building. And then, when you said there, what we are solving is that connections. The answer is yes. Actually, that's why we are focusing on a niche sports, the endurance market, because it's not that niche first. Because niche, typically people think this is small. This is not small. And secondly, the popular sports, it's already a market out there, formal and informal. For example, soccer, football players, or football, American football, baseball, basketball. Those, it's a market out there. It's sports agents, sports marketing agencies. The market is created here. in endurance space is not. So we are building that market, and it has to be through technology, because the ticket prices are so low that a sports agent cannot live being a sports agent in the endurance space. He will need 1,000 athletes to live the way that they want. So basically, that's what we are doing.
Okay, so you touched on something really important there, is that the economic dynamics of endurance sports is fundamentally different. So you've got the big sports with the big games, soccer, baseball, and things like that. But then the ticket prices are low. And is the revenue ultimately coming from ticket prices in these kind of systems, or some combination of that and the sponsors and
When I said ticket price, I'm talking about,
Oh.
no, I'm not talking about tickets of the events. I'm
Okay.
talking about the ticket price of the transaction,
Okay.
let's say. So
I see.
let's say I'm a, so let's say you are my agent and I am a soccer player. Probably you are going to negotiate for me a $10 million, $5 million contract per year, right? So the ticket price for you as an agent is huge, right? Because it's
Right.
huge in the endurance space. We are not talking about those amounts, right? So when the ticket price is so low, you need volume. And when you need volume, you need technology. That's what we are doing.
And I want to dive into this technology thing, but last question before that is, does this have to do with the star power of an endurance athlete? Is it easier for, say, a soccer player or a baseball player to be have the individual image of a star and then be able to rake in more money that way? Is it an image issue around the players, or is it something just different? Is
I will tell you this, it's, and that this is gonna change. That's what I'm visualizing. This is gonna, the dynamic is gonna change. That typically football, American football, why is a big thing? Because it's a broadcasting, right? So it's about money. So this is about money. But to broadcast an endurance event is different. For example, right now it was the Giro d'Italia and it was broadcasted, but the audience is different. But that is going to change. And then you will start seeing more media stuff out there. And I don't have anything about other sports I have played. Everybody's a great athlete. Every sport requires different skills and talents. But being in endurance, it requires also a lot of mindset that you don't see. So for me, is that's gonna change for sure. Now with the technology, the media coverage of these events is gonna be more audience, and you already start seeing it. And then the rights will be start flowing in the market, and then it's when the market is gonna be created. So we will be part of that revolution, and also to rely on other sports, because all the resources go for those kind of sports, the popular ones, but they are popular because it's a lot of money involved there. That's
And I think there's every reason to be optimistic about sports popularity changing when we look at things like the WNBA, or we look at we look at the fact that just new events get added to the Olympics, and all of a sudden new sports are on people's radar that they knew about but just wasn't on their radar, but now all of a sudden it is.
correct. Yeah, and then you the, and the reason, and I always say it, the endurance sports have been exponentially increasing after COVID, after pandemic. Why? Because everybody wants to go out. Everybody was crazy in their heads, and going out in the nature, at least in my experience, it healed my traumas. So I think it's that's gonna be a part of that actually. And next time I'm seeing in person, and that is why I wrote my book. So this is my book, and I talk exactly
For
about that.
the audience that's just listening, Charlie's holding up his book. It's entitled The Real Ultraman, From Dreamer to Achiever. It's got an athlete on the cover, Charlie Sarmiento, the author.
Yeah, so basically this is important on what we are discussing, because in my case, in the book, I wrote it to give back to the society my lessons of doing sports And I created a system to rewire the brain. And that is how I heal my traumas through sports using this system. So for me, that is why I'm telling you endurance sports is gonna keep booming, because all this, and you see a lot of people that they think that they cannot do sports, and they run a half marathon, they run a marathon, and they start realizing that they have more potential, that they have just been a people pleaser, doing what the society tells to do, but not what they really want to do. So that is more or less what the book is about, but it's consistent with what we're talking.
Yeah. So let's get into, in terms of the solution that you're offering, you've mentioned a couple of different aspects of it. You've mentioned the technology side of things. And then you've also mentioned the sort of system that you have. There's psychological elements and this sort of a method to it. What is the role played by the technology side and this training system that you're alluding to?
But so are two different things. The book is
Two different
about,
things. Gotcha.
yeah. However,
Gotcha.
for us to answer the question about the technology, for us, we are using the technology first to, because it's volume of athletes that we want to impact. So it's a volume thing. It's about how million athletes we can impact. That's our thing. Not how many thousand, how many million athletes we're going to help through our platform. So we need technology to reach globally, if not difficult. And then the other reason is we use, right now we are using some basic machine learning and AI in order to curate these athletes. We want real athletes. We don't want people that is bullshitting just with apps and not going to compete. I don't care about if they have apps and they are good in social media, but they are not putting the effort to go and compete and test their limits. It's not about competing somebody else. It's about, because every time that you go out and compete internationally or in an event, at least for me, it's competing against myself, how I can be better. And that is what it's all about. So we want athletes that have that mindset in our platform. And that's typically what is going on now in the collective. I call the collective, the society, or the world, or the community. I call it the collective. The collective right now is in another era mindset of going from the mundane to more spiritual, helping others, doing things that make them better person, and also create better communities.
Yeah. No, I love that. And so you mentioned AI, ML, AI, and stuff like that. What is the technology doing? You mentioned that it separates the real from the fake, or so when someone comes on the platform, they can expect to be connected with the right folks and empowered to achieve the things that they're trying to achieve. What is the technology doing it? Is it like an online community where people are able to connect because they're in a online community, or is there extra technology behind the scenes at work?
It's extra, and it's our BTX score, and that is how we rank and curate the athletes. So basically, it's training performance. So it's all the training that we do behind the scenes that nobody sees. We're gonna put it on the table, because people only see the result, but they don't see that we kick our asses 4 months in training. So we are putting
Right.
that. Social performance, social media, obviously we took into consideration, but we, with technology, we put more as a sentiment analysis, not necessarily focus on followers and likes, but more on how the athlete is impacting positively through their communities. It can be 500 followers or 5 million followers. We don't care. What we care is that it's positive. That's what we care. And that's going to be exponentially a better result than not having that impact. And then,
Okay, no, go ahead.
and lastly is the results. So, is the results on official competition? So we can say, okay, this is an athlete that is impacting their community through social media. That's one index. We call it indexes. Second is the other index, that is training performance, and then the results.
So is it essentially that they've got a more powerful profile and an online presence and a brand, and then now they're able to achieve things, and you're using technology to help them achieve this?
Correct, correct. For example, let's say I'm gonna give an example, a very disruptive example. Let's say that I am on Tinder, right? Which I'm not, but let's say that I'm, because I'm very old school, like I prefer to do it the old way. I want to conquer a girl, it has to be the old way, not through this. But let's say that I'm on Tinder, which I'm not. Don't Google me, because, or don't look for me, because I will not be there. But you can Google me, but don't Tinder. So what I'm saying is that, let's say that you are on Tinder and you can measure the intellectual coefficiency, the emotional coefficiency, and you can measure body, let's put body, and we can measure spiritual openness, and then some results and some goals in life. Probably, if I have good score on those, I'm gonna be a good candidate for women. And I'm not talking about money here, right? Because for me, that's not, is a mean, not an end. But let's say that this is Tinder. If Tinder can do that, actually, this is for the founder of Tinder, if he's hearing us. If you can do that, Tinder founder, that will be great. Imagine you meet a woman that you already know that she's intellectually developed, that she's emotionally developed and available. It will be interesting. So we did the same for athletes, right? That's my point.
Yeah, so I think the point you're making is that just someone has a goal, whatever that goal is, when people are evaluating each other for whatever reason, whether it's jobs or matchmaking or whatever it is, there's certain things that folks care about. And we can leverage technology, machine learning, AI to summarize things. And we could say, okay, based upon all of the things that you post, here's a score that we're going to give you on this one particular category. Here's another score we're going to give you on this other category. And it makes it where people are better able to decision make and then therefore make matches and link.
Correct. Correct. Exactly that.
Yeah. And then so the user of your platform, it's of course athletes, but is it also coaches? Is it other people in the business? Is it people who want to sponsor something? Is it everybody?
Correct. Correct. Correct.
People, anyone in the ecosystem. This sounds very exciting, Charlie. Where can people learn about Vertical X and see if it's right for them?
Thank you. BTXathlete.com is our webpage. Right now, we'll be releasing our platform soon. We did a soft beta launch. Our app is going to be ready in the coming weeks. We're going to also put a waiting list to download the app soon. So then you can find information about us. And also in social media, BTXathlete, at BTXathlete, you can also check it out. And yeah, that's where I can find. And for me, you can find me by basically charliesarmiento.com or at ultrasarmiento in my social media.
Excellent. And for ladies and gentlemen, that's V as in victory, TX, like as in Texas. So I don't know if that's what it stands for, but it probably stands for something. No, it's VT, obviously, is vertical. Duh. VT and then X, vertical X, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure to check that out and also find Charlie online on LinkedIn. He's on there as Jose Carlos and then Charlie in the middle and Sarmiento. That's Charlie's LinkedIn address. Charlie, this has been great. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate this. Was amazing. I love it. I like your energy and everybody that is hearing us. Thank you so much for taking the time to hear and keep following Thomas, because he has very smart questions and good vibes. Thank you, Thomas.
Likewise, and thank you so much for that. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.